My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. I welcome Michael Yon, my colleague, war correspondent, Michael underline Yon, for Facebook. Michael is in Central America, Panama City. He's following the track of migrants coming to South America, traveling to Colombia by bus, traveling across the very dangerous jungle that separates Colombia and Panama. The Pan-American Highway breaks in that period. It's called the Darien Gap. Following one particular family, a mother, her daughter, 16, and her son, 12, from Haiti. When last we talked to Michael, he had not heard from this young family. He'd seen them on the other side of the Darien Gap. He'd left them to go through the 60 miles up and down rough territory of jungle called the Gap, which is a very dangerous passage because you're preyed upon by gangsters, by warlords, by thieves, by people who attack the young women grossly. In addition to that, that you're left with nothing when you emerge from the Darien Gap of what you can hold on to. Now Michael has heard from this young family. He's not with them right now, but he has an idea where they've gone on to, because once you cross into Panama, you're taken control by the Panamanian authorities. You're worth money. You're taken to refugee camp, and then you're bused to Costa Rica on your way north to the American border. Michael, a very good evening to you. You're in Panama City. You've heard from this young family. What have you learned about their passage through the Darien Gap? Good evening to you.
Good evening. We lost track of Medese and her young brother. He's 12 and she's 16. We lost track of them for about 27 days. We last physically saw them on March 3rd in Necoclí in northern Colombia, just before they went into the Darien Gap. And then we've been sending messages, but Medese finally sent a message last night to Masako Ganaha, a Japanese journalist that's been with me and with Chuck Holton as well, and said that she's okay. So Chuck immediately called Medese, and Medese told Chuck Holton. Chuck Holton's a former Army Ranger. He's a war correspondent now. We've been working together on this. And because Chuck speaks Spanish fluently, he lives in Panama, but he called Medese. She speaks Spanish, even though she's Haitian. She lived in Chile for a couple of years in other parts of South America, so she speaks Spanish. So he called her up, and he heard the story. So she made it through the Darien Gap. She said about 10 people died going through. For instance, one lady was washed away in the river, and then a man and a woman died. She didn't say how the others died, and she did not say how those two died. And then she said about 10 women were raped. She herself was not raped, she said, because her mother gave away a gold necklace. And we asked, why didn't they take her iPhone? We know she had an iPhone because we were using it with her translating down in Colombia. And she said they don't take iPhones because they can't use them. So she still has that. So she made it up to Panama, got picked up by the Cinefront, which is the Panamanian border police, got taken to a camp in the Darien province, which is north of, which is, you know, that's included there in the Darien Gap. So we flew over to Panama from Colombia, went down to the Darien province and found the camp that she was in. She had not contacted us yet at this point. And but we knew where the camp was. So we went there on a couple of days. Cinefront, you know, the Panamanian border police would not allow us in. So we just, you know, kept sending Medese messages and found out she just contacted us again last night and said that they had kept her there for a while, sent her and her family up to the Costa Rican border as of a few days ago. And you may have seen in the news, or maybe it's only in Panamanian news, that a bunch of Haitians got into a fight with the Panamanian authorities. That was the group that Medese is with, and injured four or five of the Panamanian border police. Then the Haitians escaped by foot, walked about a day. Medese was part of that group. They slipped into Costa Rica. Costa Rican authorities picked them up, sent them back to Panama, and then Panama processed them out and sent them back to Costa Rica. So now, as of last night, they were in Costa Rica in San Jose, waiting for a bus to go north to Nicaragua. So that's the state of the story at this time.
Michael, a detail here. Last time we talked, you said there's a money-making machine all the way north. The Panamanian authorities, did they charge Medeza's family? The Costa Rican authorities, did they charge them for these services?
We don't know yet, and I want to get ahead of Medeza and intercept them. I might have to do it up in Mexico and get all of this in great detail on audio recording. And so we don't know that yet. We want to know very much exactly every step of the way, step by step, look at the photos they have in the phone and that sort of thing, and just have them explain step by step what happened.
The road north, Costa Rica, the bus route, do they continue to take buses all the way? Did they get intercepted at every border crossing into Nicaragua, into Honduras, into Guatemala? Is that going to be their road north, and will it cost them money? Do they know about this?
They didn't know about the roughness of Darien Gap, because we specifically asked that down in Colombia, right on the edge of the Darien Gap. Medeza thought, you know, she was just like, no, it's very easy. It's just a short walk and we'll be up in Panama. And I asked if she was going further north, and she said, no, we're just staying in Panama, which I knew that couldn't be true, because Panama is not going to allow them to just stay, for starters. And so what happens in Panama is once the center front picks you up, you'll stay in the camp for a few days, at least a few days. You'll get processed in, and then they'll put you on a bus and take you to Costa Rica, out processed from Panama, and Costa Rica takes them on a bus, puts them in their camp, and then takes them later on a bus up to Nicaragua. So everybody is making money along the way, but we don't know exactly how much or exactly how they're getting paid, and these are the things that we're working to find out.
The pictures you've been sending, Michael, include one graphic that you tell me was in Colombia at a hotel. It looked like it was welcoming the world. I saw arrows pointing to the center, pointing to Colombia. Certainly there were arrows from Cuba, but I also saw arrows from Iraq, from India, and from China. Have you seen all those different nationalities in Panama City, or is that commonplace to see the whole world heading north?
Well, okay, down in Colombia, there are, I mean, you know, the world basically dumps into South America, many of the people, not the Northern Triangle. The Northern Triangle starts in El Salvador, Honduras, and Mexico. So that comprises a huge amount of the people that come across the U.S. southern border, is that Northern Triangle of Honduras, El Salvador, and Mexico. What we're talking about down here are the ones, for instance, the Indians, Chinese, Africans, and Afghans. They can't get into Mexico directly or north of here, so they start in South America. They'll start in places like Brazil, Chile, or especially Ecuador, because you don't need a visa for Ecuador. Then they'll move from Ecuador or Brazil up to Colombia, and then Colombia they feed through the Darien Gap up into Panama, and then they keep going north. So all of these groups do come through. I didn't personally see any Chinese. I did see seven or eight Nepalese. And I talked with them for a while. They were actually Sherpas. Not all Nepalese are Sherpas, but they happen to be Sherpas. I spent a year in Nepal, so I knew where they were from, actually. And I saw out inside the Darien Gap, about a kilometer inside the jungle, I saw a Sikh man up above me on the hill, up on the mountain. And I said, Sikh man, you know, and he seemed to be pretty surprised that a white man could identify a Sikh out in the jungle, and probably was surprised to see me. And I walked up and I said, oh, you're from Punjab, right? He's like, oh, how do you know I'm from Punjab? I said, well, I've been to Punjab. You know, that's in India, of course. And so there was the Sikh man from Punjab. He was waiting for four other Sikhs, and then they were going to link up and continue north. So basically it's a catch-all. South America is the funnel up into the Darien Gap.
Do they know what's ahead of them? Do they describe to you that they have an understanding of the Rio Grande River or the border crossings, very dangerous, dominated by the human traffickers, the coyotes, well-armed, and life is meaningless to them? Did they know that's ahead of them?
Well, the Sikh man realized the Darien Gap is dangerous. He at least knew, but he said he was an engineer back in India. And we talked for quite a while. He seemed like he may have been an engineer. He was a well-educated man. But the, you know, like Madej says, she's 16 years old, very enthusiastic and obviously educated for her age, but she had no idea what was coming next. She had no idea that, you know, the Darien Gap, she just thought it was just a walk through the jungle.
Well, right? Michael, but the Rio Grande River, you can drown in that. You need to cross. The coyotes charge a lot of money. They'll throw you in the river to distract from their smuggling operations. Is this information commonplace, or are they going to learn when they get there? In other words, Michael, the Darien Gap is not the most dangerous passage. It's when you get to the Mexican border.
Yeah, they don't know. I mean, there's no Lonely Planet for doing this. You know, I mean, when you talk with people, it's clear that they're getting it, you know, basically through storytelling. And if you're coming from Haiti, I'm sure you're getting one set of stories. If you're right. coming from India, you're going to hear it through that chain of people. So, you know, but clearly most of the people just don't know what they're getting into. And it's a long journey. Look at this. You're going through South America, Darien, up through Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, continue to go north, finally then you're up in that really dangerous cartel area. And if you make it that far, now you're coming over the border.
Michael Yan, Michael underline Yan at Facebook. You can see his videos and his filings at Patreon. We're following Maidzi, if we can, and her brother Miguel and their mother as they make their way to the very dangerous, extremely dangerous, let me underline this, like murderous American-Mexican border. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.